is my partner in this radio program, David Harris, who is the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. Remember that this is a live call-in talk show. If you have any questions or comments about our program today and about any issue that we've been dealing with, be sure and call us at 254-445-2473. Now, you can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. And be sure to remember our webpage, harrisonmoore.org, that has the back issues of our programs, and also you can live stream this radio program from there as well. And so we're just delighted to have you in our audience this evening, and we want you to remember that our motto on this radio program is that you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We have, over the last several weeks, been talking about the end of times, what theologians call eschatology. And we got this all started several weeks ago when a man by the name of Harold Camping made a false prediction. He predicted that on May 21st, 2011, the world was going to come to an end. Well, guess what?
We're still here.
We're still here. And if that was not enough, he then revamped everything and said, well, you know, the Lord did come on that day, and it was a secret coming, and nobody knew about it. Well, I always ask the question, Mr. Camping, if nobody knew about it, how did you know he come? And then he says, we are in a judgment day, and we're going to be in that judgment day until October 21st, 2011. What we find here, David, is just men time and time again, when they are found to be false, they just kind of revamp their ideas. And, you know, I'm just amazed how often people just believe it and just keep on going after guys like that.
Right, right. And one of the things, as you mentioned just a moment ago, you've heard what men have had to say. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And then he tells us that of that day and of that hour no man shall know, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father, which is in heaven, will know when the last day is going to come. So who are we going to believe here, Harold Camping or Jesus the Christ?
That's right. You know, it's amazing to me while people will believe a man like Harold Camping, but not only that, he also predicted that the end of the world would come back in September the 6th, 1994. So this is like his third try now. He's still getting it wrong. People are listening to him instead of the Bible. And when you do that, you're going to find yourself in big trouble.
What's fascinating is people are still listening to him. They're waiting for the October date now.
Sometimes I'm just amazed at the ignorance of people. But we talked about the second coming. We talked about that no one denies the Lord's coming. The Bible tells us very clearly in many passages that we've already looked at in times past that the Lord is coming. We also discussed the manner of his coming. It was going to be in person. It was not going to be some secret coming. It was going to be a coming without warning. We also noted the purpose of his coming, which was going to be to raise the dead. I don't know that anybody was raised from the dead on that May 21st date. Well, I know there wasn't, because he was contrary to God's law. But he was also to coming. The Lord's going to come to deliver up his kingdom. And that tells us that the kingdom's already in existence, isn't it, David?
Right.
And so if he's coming to deliver his kingdom up to the Father, that means it already exists. And not only that, we also begin to talk about the rapture. And this rapture is in connection with that series, the Left Behind series. And, David, that's a pretty powerful or a pretty well-known, a pretty exciting book that people are listening to today, isn't it?
Well, it's a series of 16 books, as I understand it. I have not read them all. I've read some excerpts out of some of them. But they're all bestsellers, and which indicates that there are a lot of people interested in this. But they're interested in Tim LaHaye's version of what the rapture and what this premillennial idea is going to be. And we've talked for the last 3 or 4 weeks about the Herald camping idea. It is a premillennial thing that says that Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth and set up a literal kingdom in Israel, in Jerusalem, sit on David's literal throne and reign here for 1,000 years upon this earth. And there are a lot of people that are interested in this kind of thing. And Tim LaHaye came along at the right time and came up with a book that describes the second coming of Jesus Christ and just exactly what we've been talking about. But he's not been talking about from a scriptural angle. He's talking about from Tim LaHaye's angle.
That's right. And, you know, and as we have been talking about before, David, you and I on the way over here, people love sensationalism.
Absolutely.
They love the excitement. They love, you know, we're going to be talking about probably the next time we gather together the Battle of Armageddon. And whenever you talk about the Battle of Armageddon, people's eyes open up and they get real excited about it, you know, and things of that nature. But the rapture that we just finished up last week is a big part of this Left Behind series.
And the premillennial
and
doctrine.
And the premillennial idea. And in this rapture idea, there is supposed to be a secret coming. But the Bible clearly states that there will not be a secret coming.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that every eye shall see him, Revelation 1, verse 7. And so that's very clear that it's not going to be secret. And not only that, the noisiest verse in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17 says when Christ comes, there's going to be a shout, a voice, the trump of God. And so it's not going to be something that's going to occur and no one's going to know about it. It's going to be something very apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to know about it. We also talked about how that there's not going to be three comings. You know, the Lord has already come. And he's going to come for the second and final time at the end of time. But the rapturists are trying to put in one in between the two and make it make a third coming out of the two. And that's when they say the rapture is going to occur. And at this time, they say, the rapturists, those who believe in the rapture, say that there is going to be a separate resurrection for the righteous and the unrighteous.
Mm-hmm.
At the rapture, they say the righteous are going to be raised up, and then later on, when the Lord comes another time, then the unrighteous are going to be raised. But there are a lot of passages that we looked at also that show that at the time of Christ's coming, both the just and the unjust are going to be raised up in the same hour. And for example, we see that in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29.
Would you like me to read that one?
Just
to refresh our memories, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." It is going to be a resurrection of both the good and the evil, and there will be a judgment, not only the resurrection of the dead, but there will also be a judgment associated with that second coming, which will mark the end of time here on this earth.
You know, and David, that puts a death nail in the rapture's view of the second coming.
Sure it does.
As does the great shout, the voice of the archangel,
mm-hmm.
the trump of God, and every eye shall see him. And I don't know how in the world people can believe men like Tim LaHaye and their view of the rapture when the Bible is so clear in telling us just the opposite of what they're telling us. Again, what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe man, or are we going to believe the Bible?
And we're pulling out clear literal passages. We're not talking about figurative symbolic language here. We're talking about clear literal passages in all that you've mentioned so far. And when we look at the rapture, the only way the rapture and premillennialism can exist is going to symbolic passages that have no other reference in any other part of the Bible than that of the figurative languages that portions of the Bible that are figurative and symbolic.
Mm-hmm, exactly right. You know, one of the other things, David, that's connected in various ways with premillennialism that people really get excited about and hear a lot about is the 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who have different views on this. You know, and as I was looking today and you were looking today, it's amazing how many different slants there are with regard to the idea of the 144,000. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The phrase 144,000 is only mentioned three times in the Bible. It's mentioned once in Revelation chapter 7.
Right.
And twice in Revelation chapter 14. Now, as we begin to think about this idea of the 144,000 being found only in the book of Revelation, one of the first things that we need to do, David, is to realize that the book of Revelation is a highly symbolic book. It is a figurative book, a book filled with signs and figures. And it tells us that in the very beginning of the book. It warns us and instructs us as the kind of book this is. Mm-hmm. For example, in Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to point out several things here that indicate that we need to look at the book of Revelation differently than we would, say, the book of Romans or the book of Acts. In Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must," notice first of all, "must shortly come to pass."
Right.
Now, what does that tell us, David, about what we're going to be reading here in the book of Revelation?
Well, the things that he is going to describe to us here in figurative symbolic language will shortly come to pass. And he is talking here to the first century Christians who were highly persecuted under that Roman government, under the rule of Nero, under the rule of Domitian, and many other rulers of Rome. They were being persecuted even unto death. And this was a message of victory, but it was given to them in highly figurative language so that they would get the message of victory and the Roman government would not.
Mm-hmm. And so for them, the things that must shortly come to pass are the things that they're talking about in Revelation, so it's going to be things pertaining to them.
Right.
What in the world would the thousand-year reign later on, how would that help them in their persecution of the Roman by the Roman Empire?
It would not help them at all.
And you know, remember back the year 2000 when everybody was going all crazy and think that this was going to be the issuing in of Armageddon, the year 2000, and people seeing various people and they would look in the book of Revelation, they'd see Hitler there and Mussolini there. And what in the world would these guys or these things do for the people of the first century?
Absolutely nothing.
Not one single thing.
Nothing.
And so the things that he's talking about here are things that are going to take place in the first century in their lifetime. And so that's another thing we've got to realize as we're studying the book of Revelation. Things which must shortly come to pass. And then notice also, still in verse 1, "And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Now that phrase, "signify it," comes from the Greek word semino, which means signs or symbols. And so it tells us here in the very first verse that this is a book of what?
Signs.
Signs and symbols. It is a book of symbolism. And so we find ourselves in big trouble when we start taking the book of Revelation literal. Now, one of the mistakes a lot of people are making, David, is that they'll take a verse, they'll take one little piece out of it and want to make that literal, and yet want to leave everything else figurative.
Sure.
That's not good Bible study.
No, it is not. No, it is not. And if you look at that word, you know, just plain old country boy, Erath County, kind of looking at it, when you look at the word signified, if you break it down and you look at it, it says there, signified.
Yeah.
The word sign, S-I-G-N, that's how you spell signified. It is a book of signs. And we understand this when we're driving down the highway. We see a sign on the side of the road. That means something. What does it mean? Well, it means there's a curve up ahead.
Yeah.
That's what it means. And we don't have any trouble understanding that here as we live here on this earth. But when we pick up this book here, we want to make something out of it that it's not.
That's right. Again, it's that mysterious thing that people like so much.
Sure.
Well, in verse 2, he tells him that he is going to write down the things that he saw. And then in verse 3 of Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand."
Mm-hmm.
These things that are going to occur in the book of Revelation are going to occur soon. and it was going to be something that would pertain to those whom he was writing in the first century. Now, we say that because that 144,000 is found in what book? The book of Revelation.
The book of Revelation,
and
yes.
So that also automatically ought to open our eyes and look at this a little bit clearly and differently, because this is a book of signs. Well, who are the 144,000 mentioned in the book of Revelation in chapter 7 and chapter 14? Well, as we just mentioned, the book of Revelation is a highly symbolic treatise. And because of this fact, many false religionists have attempted to exploit the message of the narrative to their own theological ends. The apocalypse, the revelation, has become a, well, we might say a happy hunting ground for some religionists, some religious cultists who seek biblical support for their particular doctrines. And it's amazing to me, again, David, how that, you know, if you're looking hard for something, you can find almost anything you want.
Sure.
If you come in with a preconceived idea.
There's no doubt about that. What we see here in this 144,000, what we have here with this 144,000 is just another branch of false teaching, false doctrine, false religion that is associated with premillennialism and with the rapture. And as you mentioned just a moment ago, that the sensationalizing of the book of Revelation. There are several things that just jump out at you even today as we talk about the book of Revelation. We talk about the 1,000-year reign. We talk about the 144,000. We talk about the Battle of Armageddon. These are sensationalizing the book of Revelation. Now, we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this, but the sensationalism needs to be put aside for just a moment, and let's just see what the scriptures have to say in reference to the signs that are being given to these individuals. What in the world does 144,000, what in the world does that number mean, Tom?
That's good. Well, as we begin to talk about this, remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment or a disagreement or agreement, call us at 254-445-2473. I promise you we will not jump down your throat. We will just open the Bibles and we will discuss in a Christian manner the things that the Bible has to say about the rapture. Well, or about the 144,000. Twice in this book, in the book of Revelation, mention is made of a group consisting of 144,000. In chapter 7, verse 1, John, verses 1 and following, he mentions he heard 144,000 servants of God who had been sealed on their forehead. They were thus obviously redeemed people. Also, the apostle saw a great multitude which no man could number. You know, really, David, before we ought to be discussing this, why don't we read Revelation chapter 7.
You want to start there at verse number 4?
Well, let's read. Well, won't we read? Read beginning there, verse 4, reading down, to about verse 8 or so.
Okay. And remember how you started this, the book of signs, and then in that very same chapter 1, the angel is speaking to John, and he is revealing something as if it were a theater scene. The curtains have pulled back, and the angel tells him, John, now I want you to write what you see.
Yep.
I'm going to give you a revelation. I want you to write what you see.
So he sees pictures, and he's writing these pictures to us, what he sees.
Right. He is giving us a description of what is being revealed unto him. Have you ever tried to do that and make people understand exactly what you are seeing?
If you were to see a beautiful sunset,
write
down what that sunset's all about. Well, you might say, man, it's orange like a longhorn, you know, and just describing this idea to try to get people to understand the picture.
And that is in verse chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, what you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And so this description of what he sees has got to be sent out. Now we get to chapter 7. And beginning in verse number 4, he says, I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, here is a pretty good clue as to who he's talking about here when we get to verse number 5. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now, if you multiply 12 by 12, you come up with 144. If you multiply that times 1,000, which is used in this book of signs over and over and over to show completeness, you will get 144,000. Now, that's how you come up with 144,000. You can't come up with it any other way.
That's right. And obviously, these are redeemed people.
Yes.
And also, the apostle saw a great multitude which no man can number out of every nation. These two were redeemed individuals who had been made white in the Lamb's blood in that same chapter in verse 14.
Well, let's just read that.
Right.
Because my question now is this. Why are we so focused on the 144,000 when we read here in verse 14? And I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, a number that cannot be numbered here. And so a great number is given to us here. Why is a distinction made between these 144,000 and that great number?
Well, it's because they like to pick and choose.
Right.
They like to pick and choose. Well, these who without number had victoriously triumphed over tribulation, they served God continuously in the temple. We're talking here about the context of chapter 7. And some feel that these two groups are really the same people, just looking at it from different angles, which very well could be the case, and I think it is.
Well, they're most definitely the redeemed, because we're talking about having been washed in the blood of the
Lamb.
Right. And so that is another clue, another sign that we read there in verse number 14.
Well, let's go ahead and turn over to Revelation chapter 14. And David, read there for us about the first five verses there of chapter 14, which also talks about this 144,000, and then we'll come back and begin to look at these a little bit more carefully.
Okay, and again, remember, this is what he was told to do. What you see, write. And I looked, which is just exactly what he's supposed to do. And lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Now, anybody can read this in their Bible. In the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, the first four verses there, and verse 5 says, And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And so there is your description. Two different times in the book of Revelation, mentioned three times in those two verses, verse 7, or chapter 7, chapter 14, the 144,000. Now, why is this so significant to us today? Now, I've heard all my life about the 144,000. I've heard it. I heard it before I even knew what premillennialism was, before I even studied of the false doctrine of premillennialism. I heard about the 144,000. So why is this so significant? Because this is the only place that you're going to see it in the whole Bible.
Because people like sensationalism.
There you go.
Again, here in Revelation 14, verses 1 and following that David just read for us, John saw the Lamb on Mount Zion. Now, we might just stop just quickly and ask, is this a literal lamb? They're going to say, no, it represents Jesus.
It represents Jesus.
But then they'll turn right around and say, yet the 144,000 is
literal.
Literal. Now, that makes good nonsense. But with him, there was 144,000 sealed with the Father's name on their forehead. And this great multitude had been purchased out of the earth, and they were said to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Now, people like Tim LaHaye, and we were looking on the internet today, there was a group called the Lion and the Lamb's Ministry, and there's a host of other people who look at this 144,000 as being literal and in some fashion, some form, connected with the premillennial idea.
And the rapture.
And the rapture.
The secret carrying away of a certain group of people nobody else is going to know about.
So people like the Jehovah's Witness, they have no concept or almost no concept of the distinction between the literal and figurative language in the Bible. And so they literalize the number of 144,000 into these two contexts and ridiculously argue that only 144,000 people will gain heaven.
Well, let me tell you what a Watchtower publication, and by the way, for those of you who do not understand Watchtower, the Jehovah's Witnesses have gone out and retranslated the King James Version into a Watchtower Bible version, and it takes out all of the allusions to Jesus Christ being deity. They take that out. But here is one of their publications. It says the final number of the heavenly church will be 144,000 according to God's decree, and that's in their Watchtower publication, Let It Be True, page 113. Now, Tom, did you get that? The final number of the heavenly church will be 144,000. That's not very many folks.
No. And I read here just today that, you know, back they believed that this 144,000 Jehovah's Witness began to be resurrected back in the early 1900s, like a 1920 or somewhere, 1918 in there. And they were raised up, the 144,000, and throughout the years, people are going to be raised up to add to the 144,000. Well, what has happened now is that they have too many people. And so now they have gone back and have revamped exactly who the 144,000 are that's being raised up. You know, that just shows you, like all these other guys, they are doing things that are contrary to God's law, and then they have to come back and change things to make it work out, because they had more than 144,000 who said they were raised up to be in heaven.
But they're claiming literal 144,000. So literal 144,000. So the balance of all saved humanity, if they contend, will live on God's glorified earth. And it should be noted that the term thousand is used 19 times in the book of Revelation, but not once is it employed literally in the document called the Revelation. 19 times, not one time is it used in a literal fashion. And yet we see here that they want to take this Tim LaHaye series especially, but I don't know how many thousands and hundreds of thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses are out there. I hope you're listening to your radio, because if you are, you need to seriously question the doctrine that you are following, because it does not match up with God's Word.
Exactly right. Now, we're about on to go into a break, but remember that our call-in number is 254-445-2473. And we encourage you to call us on the other side of the break with any question or comment that you might have concerning the 144,000.
Blessed assurance.
Do not let the memories of your defeats discourage you. Those defeats happened yesterday.
Those mistakes, blunders, follies, the things that shame you and fill you with remorse, they are part of a day that is gone. Today is a new day. God has given you a new 24 hours. The best way to put the horrors of yesterday behind us is to fill today with a new and a better effort. Put your trust in God and walk in the old paths. Jeremiah tells us about them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and good things will happen. Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, let us focus on the future. I'm David Harris, preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible class begin at 9:30, worship at 10:30, midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Make plans now to attend.
Brethren, we have met to
worship. Friends, this message is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We do not claim to be a perfect church, but we strive to be a church sound in doctrine, active in good works, and united in the bond of peace. At Park Heights, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Therefore, we insist upon Bible authority for everything that we teach and practice. We believe that we ought to teach what people were taught in the first century, believe what they were taught to believe, and do what they were taught to do. At Park Heights, we will never intentionally do or say anything that would make you feel uncomfortable. We will not ask you to believe anything unless we can give you Bible authority for it. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come to our worship service with us each Sunday. We have Bible study Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Our worship times begin each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, Tom Moore from the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we are knee-deep in false doctrine concerning the rapture today. We are looking at and concerning ourselves with some of the more sensational parts of the rapturous doctrine, which says that there is 144,000 of the saved. We've talked in the first part of the hour, we talked about that Tim LaHaye series, Left Behind, where there are 16 books that are bestsellers, Tom. And bestsellers means that they have to sell a certain number of books in a certain period of time in order to be a bestseller. And there are many, many people across the United States and across the world that would like to know more about these end times. But the rapture is not part of it.
That's right.
The rapture is a false doctrine that was born out of premillennialism, which is another false doctrine, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. And we're going to get to that. We're going to touch all of these sensational parts of the rapture and sensational parts of premillennialism. And all we want to do is get right back to what the Bible has to say. Now, this is a live call-in talk show. And if you would like to make a comment, if you would like to ask a question concerning what we're talking about, we would encourage you to pick up the phone and dial the number 254-445-2473. We have mentioned Tim LaHaye. We have mentioned a Lion and the Lamb Ministry. There's a host of other denominational doctrines out there or denominational bodies that are teaching this premillennial rapture, this idea that there is going to be a third coming of Jesus Christ, not just two. And we have shown over and over and over, Tom, how that the Bible says there's only going to be two comings. Jesus already come once. He's just going to come one more time. And at that time, there will be the raising of the dead, the resurrection of the dead, and the judgment, and the earth will be destroyed. and melted with fervent heat, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and following. And we can all read that. Now, one of the things that we're involved with this afternoon is the 144,000 who the Jehovah's Witnesses and many others say are the redeemed. The
literal redeemed.
The literal 144,000 of the redeemed. Now, one thing that we need to keep pointing out over and over and over again. Well, actually, two things. First of all, you have heard what men have had to say. We're going to continue to tell you what men have had to say, and we're going to contrast that with what the Lord has to say through His revealed word, the Bible, that anybody can get a hold of. And we do hope you have your Bibles there and that you will read these passages with us. But one thing that we certainly need to understand about the study of God's word, when we are reading passages that are symbolic and that are figurative, then they cannot be taken out of context. They need to be compared with other passages in the Bible that are plain, literal, easy to be understood, because, Tom, there is no contradiction in God's word.
That's right. And when a figurative passage contradicts a literal passage, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you got the figurative passage wrong.
You've got it absolutely wrong. And this is what we have in this book of signs. When the sign has contradicted the literal word of God, then you got the sign wrong.
That's right.
And that's what we have here in the book of Revelation. Now, what we have covered thus far is the fact that there are only three times mentioned in the entire Bible the 144,000, those saved. We read just a moment ago in chapter 7 and again in 14 about the literal 144,000, literal according to man, not according to God, because He tells us about the 12 different tribes there. But there's something interesting about those 12 tribes that He lists, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, and it will show us that there is no doubt, absolutely no doubt in this world that we're talking about figurative signs and symbolic language here, and when we come to trying to literalize this. And so we also talked just a moment ago about that word thousand is used 19 times in the book of Revelation, but not one time is it employed literally in this entire book of Revelation. Now, the Jehovah's Witness, they have no concept. Tim LaHaye has almost no concept. And anybody else has almost no concept of the distinction between that which is literal and that which is figurative in the Bible. So they literalize this 144,000 as the saved. Now, we mentioned just a moment ago, 144,000, not very many.
No.
When you date it all the way back to Abraham, that's not very, very many people.
That's exactly right. Now, again, I want to read for you Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, the first time that this phrase, 144,000, is mentioned. There in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, it says, here's John writing what he sees, or that this instance he's writing what he hears. He says, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, David, there are some minor differences of opinion among reputable Bible scholars as to the identity of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7. Some commentators argue that the number referred to are those who were saved from the physical nation of Israel. Others feel that the company is spiritual Israel, that is, the church. Some think it is a group that represents the martyrs who have given their lives for the cause of Christ. But be that as it may, it is generally understood that the number is obviously symbolic. 12. The number of the tribes is both squared and multiplied by 1,000, a twofold way of emphasizing completeness. Now, we've got to emphasize here 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, one cannot simply take a symbolic section of Scripture and interpret it in such a way as a fashion it in a way that would contradict other clear literal portions of the Bible. And we've already mentioned that, hadn't we, David?
Yes, we have.
It's very important. But secondly, any doctrine which logically implies an absurdity is false and must be rejected. Now, the Watchtower theory, or the Jehovah's Witness, regarding the 144,000 violates both of these principles. And David, start showing us or give us some examples of how their view of the 144,000 violate both of these two items we just mentioned.
Okay. Well, we have just read the passage there in Revelation chapter 7 concerning the 144,000. And if you argue that that 144,000 represents a literal number, he should similarly contend that the group of which that number consists is also literal. And so he's talking about here Israelites. You would have to say if the 144,000 is literal, then you've got to have literal Israelites. Now that would mean, according to Tim LaHaye, and according to the Lion and the Lamb ministries, and according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, that would mean that no one would be in heaven who was not of the actual tribes that are listed. And that would include Abraham.
Or exclude.
That would exclude Abraham. It would exclude Isaac. And it would exclude Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who became the father of the 12 sons of Israel, who became the 12 tribes of Israel, who were known as the Israelites. These, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were never actually of the tribes of Israel, and yet that conflicts with Jesus' affirmation that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be in the kingdom of heaven, and we read that in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 11. And I want you, if you've got your Bibles there, I want you to turn there. I want you to see Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11 when he says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So who are we going to believe here now?
I think we need to believe the Lord.
Absolutely, we need to believe the Lord.
But you know, David, not only that, if only a literal 144,000 Israelites will enter heaven, that means that not one Gentile has the hope of the kingdom of God.
Now, that means that we can't go.
I'm not a Jew, are you?
I am not a Jew, wasn't born a Jew.
The two others in our building right now, they're not Jews.
Not that we know of. They could be, but I don't think so. Don't act like Jews.
Now, the Lord, though, plainly alluding to the Gentiles when he stated that many shall come from the east
mm-hmm.
and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 8, verse 11.
Those are Jesus' words.
That's right.
The Gentiles are going to come and they're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Gentiles. Now, that means that the 144,000 that we're talking about here in Revelation chapter 7 cannot possibly be a literal 144,000. You can't say that that number is a literal number, and the Israelites is not literal.
I wonder how many of the Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be Jews.
I kind of doubt very few of them do.
But there's
another thing here. And I hope that as you were reading this with us in the book of Revelation, as we were looking through those tribes, and you remember 12 tribes times 12 is 144. Times 1,000, that would be your complete number, the completeness of the saved. I want you to notice there as we went down through there, beginning there in verse number 5, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben, and so on and so on and so on. We get the 12. I want you to notice, if the 12 tribes of Revelation were to be literally pressed, then not a person from Ephraim or Dan will enter into heaven, for they are excluded from the list. Now, a lot of people don't pick up on that, Tom.
That's right.
Ephraim and Dan are not in the list of the 12, and yet those are the 12, two of the 12 original tribes of Israel. Ephraim and Dan are excluded there, and it says there that if you try to literalize the 144,000, you're going to have to exclude them because they're not in that list. And this would mean that Old Testament heroes like Joshua, and he was from Ephraim, Samson, he was from Dan, will not be in heaven. The fact is, mention of the tribe of Joseph. Now, that's in chapter 7 and verse 8. There is no tribe of Joseph. It was not a tribe at all, in a literal sense, is evidence of the symbolism in this context.
That's right.
There is no tribe of Joseph.
And so, again, what they're wanting to do is to take parts that they want to make literal and make that literal, and then other parts that they don't want to make literal, mm-hmm. they want to leave that as figurative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's being dishonest with the Scripture.
Sure it is.
But also, logically, the Watchtower people must also exclude the great multitude which no man can number.
Okay, and now that Watchtower people, we're talking about the Jehovah's Witness.
That's right. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, they're going to have to also say they're not going to be in heaven. Now, this group, the Jehovah's Witness, they allege, the Jehovah's Witness do, that they represents the earthly class. But that is not so. This multitude that they're talking about here, that the Scriptures are talking about, in chapter 7, verse 9, says they are standing before the throne. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that the 144,000 are in heaven, but the great multitude are the earthly class. But the Bible says they're what? They are standing before the throne, which is in heaven, Revelation 1, verse 4, and Revelation 4, 2 through 10 state. And furthermore, these saints before the throne were serving God in his temple, Revelation 7, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
And elsewhere, John comments that the temple of God is in heaven.
Right. Well, let me just read that, verse 9 of chapter 7, for those who are driving, don't have their Bibles. He says, "After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Now, that is totally contrary to what the Jehovah's Witness is. But the interesting fact in all of this is that this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses allege. Tim LaHaye alleges that this 144,000 in this great multitude are completely and totally somebody else, and yet they still affirm that the 144,000 is a literal number.
That's right.
And so do other ministries like the Lamb and the Lion ministries. They allege that the 144,000 is a literal number, but they don't know and they can't tell you who the 144,000 or the great multitude is either.
That's right.
They can't tell you.
You know,
any
and truthfully, even perhaps you and I might disagree as to who the 144,000 are,
mm-hmm.
but we will agree that it's not a literal group of people.
No.
It is figurative for a great number of people. And that's the whole point here.
Sure it is.
And so they're taking something that is figurative, making it literal, and yet, in that same passage, they will not do the same with the other verses. And so, again, it's amazing what people will believe so long as it's not the Bible.
So long as it's not. Tim LaHaye has made his fortune writing the series Left Behind. And there are many, many people educated by Tim LaHaye with a false education of the end times about Jesus coming back again, about the rapture, about this 144,000, by the way.
Now, concerning the 144,000, flip over in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 again, and it's going to give us some important detail as with regard to the 144,000. Now remember, either all of this passage is literal or all of it's not. Are we going to go through and pick and choose what we want to be literal or figurative? You can see, if we go through this section and make all of it literal, we're going to have some strange things occurring here.
Mm-hmm.
For example, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God."
Well, once more we see here, Tom, that the 144,000 that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 14, just as it was mentioned in chapter 7, it is a number that is clustered in with several other prominent symbols. And we noted at the beginning that this was a symbolic book, a figurative book. Now, the 144, the number, is lumped in with several other prominent symbols. Not literal, but symbols. First of all, you've got the Lamb. That is a figure that represents Christ. We know that because John chapter 1 and verse 29 tells us that over there in the Gospels. And then we get over here in the Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, and again we are told that the Lamb is representing Jesus the Christ. Secondly, there is Mount Sinai, and that is a symbol of divine government. We read that all the way back, and many of these symbols are references back to Old Testament scriptures, and there we read in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4 about that divine system of government.
Right. You said Mount Sinai, but you meant to say Mount Zion.
I'm sorry. Yes, Mount Zion. I'm sorry. Mount Zion, a symbol of divine government. Then third of all, there is that number 144,000 suggested of the heavenly complement of God's people. No one will be missing who is supposed to be there. And that's what that 12 times 12 times 1,000, it is the heavenly complement of God's people, not a literal 144,000. Now, why don't you tell us about the virgins there, Tom?
You know,
this is the real kicker.
It's very interesting. You know, again, what they want to do is take bits and pieces of what they want to be literal and figurative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he tells us in verse 4 of Revelation 14, these. So what is the antecedent to these? Well, he's been talking about the 144,000.
Right.
These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. So the fourth thing we realize here is the saints here are depicted, these 144,000 are depicted as virgins, which is a descriptive of emphasizing purity.
Right. The purity that one must have to get to heaven.
That's exactly right. Now again, it must be stressed that if one contends for a literal 144,000, if consistent, he should argue also that there is a literal lamb standing on the literal Mount Zion with a group of literal men who have never been intimate with a literal woman, hence were literal virgins. Now that doesn't make good nonsense, does it?
No, it does not. If you're going to be consistent here, the literal scheme of interpretation is pursued here. Here is the situation that you would have. If you take it all literal, here's what you'd have. Only men will be in heaven. And if only men are going to be in heaven, then women like Hannah, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Dorcas, who is also known as Tabitha back in Acts chapter 8, and women of like faith are without hope. They don't have any hope of going, because we're talking about literal virgin men. Now, only unmarried men who are virgins are going to get to go to heaven, and that will exclude Abraham, the father of all the Jews, Moses, Peter, and a host of other biblical worthies that we read about time after time after time as going to heaven.
That's right. And these conclusions, David, are utterly ludicrous and thus are without any merit whatsoever. Now, I believe we've got a phone call coming in. But the 144,000 Revelation 14 likely signifies the entire body of the redeemed. They were purchased from among men. The only purchase price ultimately available for human salvation is that of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was effective for the obedient who live before the cross and for those who have submitted to God's will since that historic event.
So the blood of Jesus Christ reaches forward and backward. Those before the cross who are faithful under the law of Moses, and those who are obedient and faithful in this Christian age after the crucifixion and the shedding of the blood that will redeem men, buy us back, because we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and thus we are redeemed by his blood.
That's right.
And so we can't take this literally and come out with what God wants us to understand here.
You know, David, I have always looked at the 144,000 as representing the total number of saints on earth at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
His faithful. They are the 144,000, not a literal number, but representing those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who are keeping themselves unspotted from the world.
Well, you know, what I like to see here and what I like to stress here is that 144,000 represents everybody that is supposed to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We look at Acts chapter 2 and the obedience to the gospel. It says after that gospel sermon was preached and they were pricked in their hearts and they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And then it says in verse 42, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls." And then later in verse number 47, it says, "And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved."
You could say that they were added to the 144,000.
They were added to the 144,000.
And so we're not talking about a literal number here.
No, sir.
We're talking about a number that represents God's saved, and God knows exactly who they are. And so it's important for us to realize the falsity of this 144,000. Now, next week, we're going to talk about something that's very intriguing to a lot of people in the world, and that we're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon. Whenever everybody hears about the Battle of Armageddon, their eyes poke up and they get all excited.
Mm-hmm.
But I challenge you between now and next Monday to look in your Bible, read everything you can find about the Battle of Armageddon. Don't be reading any man's book. I'm talking about reading the Bible. Find out everything you can know about the Battle of Armageddon, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Again, what we want to stress always is you have heard what men have had to say. Now, just let's listen to what the Bible has to say. And that's all we're here for, is to guide you through the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about these issues that really concern the salvation of mankind. And we want to encourage you to continue to listen on Monday nights. If you have a question, we would like for you to call us. If you want to email us, look on our website. We have our email addresses there. We have telephone numbers there. You can call us anytime during the week. And I want to sign off by saying, God bless America, God bless our troops, and continue to read your Bibles.
As country as it gets, KEQX 89.7, Stephenville.